Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 10. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 10. Doing a study through the book of Revelation. We're going to try to squeeze a little bit more than normal in here, so you're going to be wanting to have a pen ready if you want to remember anything, because I'm going to try to get a couple things covered. These are details behind the scenes, if you will. We've seen in chapter 6 that there was the breaking of the seals, and of the breaking of those seals, we had six brought before us, and then we had a pause, and then we were shown what was happening behind the curtain. 144,000 evangelists were sealed. They went out. They were from each tribe, 12,000 from each tribe. And they went out and preached the gospel to the entire world during the time of the tribulation. And then we saw that a great multitude in the second half of chapter 7 came out of great tribulation. Then we saw in chapter 8 the picking up of that sixth seal in the middle of the chapter. And it talked about an earthquake. And then you saw the seventh seal broken. And we're told four trumpets, and then we're told, woe, 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 because of the next three trumpets. And then we get a backstory. So what I'm trying to show you is there is a forward motion, but the forward motion gives way to, hey, let's go back, and I'm going to tell you what was happening while all that was occurring. Okay, so when you're having four horsemen coming, and you're having martyrs martyred, and you're having a great earthquake come on the earth, all of that was happening, but there was also given to us in chapter 7 the backstory of all those people getting saved. And when you get the trumpets and you get the forward motion of the trumpets, because the trumpets are the seventh seal being broken. It's the trumpets and the bowls, but the seven trumpets. We saw the seven trumpets being set before us more deliberately in chapters 8 and 9. And we saw that chapter 9 was two of the woes in regard to the trumpets. One was the worst of the worst being released from the bottomless pit. And then the other was the war over the water, where one-third of the humans involved in that clash died and were destroyed. One-third, that's a lot. And then we see that the next woe has to come, which is that final trumpet. Okay, so the seventh trumpet is the seven bowls. And even as bad as all of it was in chapter 9, that's nothing compared to what's going to be happening in this next woe. Because that next woe is the very unsheathed, unbridled, undiluted wrath of Almighty God poured on the earth. Now, some people believe that we go halfway through the tribulation and then God will rapture us out somewhere in there. People think they're getting into it now, which some do think that we're getting into the tribulation and we're starting to touch our toe in the water. But the problem is that there aren't any signs anywhere that people are repenting. There's no revival. People aren't getting saved in droves. Great multitudes aren't coming to the cross because they're not being confronted with the real nasty of the time that Jesus said would be worse than any time that had ever come on the face of the earth, and that the earth would never see the likes of which again. I'm telling you, we're seeing what? Birth pangs. You're living in the midst of the birth pangs. And what we're seeing right now, watching our country diminish, watching things crumble, watching our institutions crumble, watching the Electoral College get attacked, watching the Supreme Court get packed, watching the borders get wide open, watching the Iran nuclear deal reinitiated, and all of the things that we're seeing. Birth pangs. Birth pangs. And Jesus is on the throne, and he told us it would be this way. So, as God's people, as the body of Christ, we need to see from the aerial view so we can navigate while we're here. It may come close to us in some of the things that have to happen. But what you can understand in the back of your mind is that as the world in which we have been brought up, in this United States of America, this wonderful country we know and love, we've seen us as a country tell God to get out of the schools in the 60s. We told him to get out of the bedroom in the 70s. We told him to get out of the marriage in the past few years with the Obergefell. We just keep telling him to leave. And you know what they're telling us now? They're telling us to leave as a church. Leave as a church. Stop being the church. Stop meeting. Stop meeting. Don't get around each other. When Jesus deliberately says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, they're telling us to stop meeting. Now, America is really the ragged edge, and we're a little harder to reach to. And so we've had a few good rulings from our Supreme Court saying we can meet no matter what maybe somebody like Gavin Newsom says or other people like Whitmer in Michigan. But if you're watching over the northern border, last week they actually put a fence around a church. Two, in fact. And they actually occupied the church so the church could not occupy it. If you were to watch any of the videos on that, you would find that the people showed up anyway and sang songs outside. And they weren't social distancing, just saying. They were just worshiping Jesus. I'm telling you, we're in it. You are living the Bible. You say, it's not like the Bible was. No, it's just exactly like the Bible is. You're living it. And you're getting to take notes right now so that when we go into eternity, we can tell our story, what we saw, how it was, how intoxicating this luxuriant world was, how you could get in a car and go over into the other side of Pennsylvania, get over to New Jersey, and you get there, six, seven hours? But you know what I'm saying. It's like what we have, they didn't have any clue about. But you and I are living what we might call the apogee of man's efforts to try to conjure all kinds of stuff. And everybody's got a phone that is more sophisticated than was the control room for putting the Apollo on the moon. There's more technology. Just think of all the things you could do with that thing. And sometimes people fall in. So I suggest to you that we're going to have a story to tell. And it's part of what's going on here. We're Beck's story too. And every one of us will have our story in the midst of glory. Verse 1 of chapter 10 is where we pick up our narrative. Again, we've had 7 trumpets that have been announced. 6 have sounded. And then there's a pause. And there's a pause because the Lord does not want us to misunderstand that there's things going on that need to be understood behind the scenes. The Bible says in verse 1, "Then I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices." Now we're going to stop there for a moment because what's actually happening here is almost off-putting for the common reader. We might read this coming out of chapter 9 and say, well, what's this all about? Is this a physical manifestation? What is happening here? Well, we know that the 7 trumpets were the movements of God. He began to mess with the fresh water, the water of the sea, earthquakes, fires, all kinds of things, grass being burned up. All the world was in upheaval because God was allowing his angels to begin to start moving in the midst of the things that were going on. For the first 3.5 of years, there was silence in heaven. But after that, the trumpets were to sound. And that's when the order was given to go and to enter the fray. And the incense was thrown down. And then all of a sudden, all the prayers of the saints were brought to bear. And all of a sudden, you have upheaval from the heavens. God was doing some stuff big time. So much so that he gives the angel of the bottomless pit a key and says, go ahead and open it up. And these locust-like swarm comes out and we get a picture of them. And these are the worst of the worst demons that we traced back all the way to the book of Genesis in chapter 6 with those Nephilim that Jude references and Peter references. And we understand they've been in chains waiting for the day of judgment to come on the earth. And they were unleashed. These are awesome things that have happened on the earth already, and all things are paused so that we can get a clue of what's going on here. You see, with America, we tend to think about ourselves like the old days they used to think that everything revolved around the earth. And then they figured out, no, we're revolving around the sun, and we were so egocentric, it was all about us. And what I'm saying is Americans think it's all about us sometimes. Sometimes what we do is we lean in and we think, you know, what's God doing? What's God doing? I'll tell you what God's doing. God's trying to get Israel back. You see, it's like Hosea. Remember Hosea? He married Gomer. She was a harlot. And he had a couple kids, and come to find out they weren't his. Everything about her was false. And she got to the point where she actually hit rock bottom, having been dissociated with Hosea. And got to the place where she was up on the auction block in the slave market. And God said, Hosea, go and by Gomer. And she will now be a wife unto you, like she never would have been before. And he says, that's how I feel about Israel. She was my wife, and I loved her, but she never really loved me. But when she sees him whom they pierced, the Bible says they will be converted in a day. There will be a return of the Lord Jesus. He will stand on the Mount of Olives. It will split in two. And they, listen, will run into the cliff. And as they do that, they are demonstrating a sold-out heart, because it's totally counterintuitive to run into the cleft of an earthquake that has just occurred and a cleft of some kind of a mountain. But they will have been reading the book of Revelation, which I call the field manual for the tribulation. And they will know that that's what's expected of them. And if you read that, it's really cool. You should read it. It's like a little spinny wheel, and you're like, it's a day, it's a night, it's a day, it's a night, and they come out on the other side, and everything's totally new. It's really cool. I'm just saying, it really is cool. Because God has a plan, and every I's been dotted, every T's been crossed, and it's been laid down, as it were, in stones. You and I have His Word today. And this, in chapter 10... is what God wants you to know. It's not about you. It's about Israel. And the reason we know that's what He wants us to know is because the identity of this mighty angel, quote unquote, is none other than the Lord Jesus Himself. We know that because we're told so many earmarks of who He is. And if we're calling Him an angel, why would the church look at Jesus as a mighty angel? Because it's not to the church. We're gone. This is to Israel. And they know Jesus as the angel of the Lord. You may recall in the Old Testament where Abraham was there leaning in his tent door one day, and along came three angels. And he began to realize, this is the Lord. Hey, Sarah, that's Him right there. And he says, shall I tell my servant Abraham what I'm going to do? And that was where he began to bargain down the decimation of Sodom and Gomorrah, got him down, got the Lord down to 10. If there's 10 righteous, I won't destroy the city. So I say to you, we see the angel of the Lord as a direct connect to Israel, because this is all about Israel. 144,000 Israelites get saved. They get, for the first time, to be the chief players in the actual populating of the kingdom that God will bring into being. And they are 144,000 in number, 12,000 from every tribe, and the most we've ever had on a mission field at any one time has been about 70,000. So this is huge. So they're out there like a bunch of Apostle Pauls, willing to take anything and do anything to get the gospel out, and multitudes get saved. Here we are, pulling the veil back again underneath the current of what the world's going through and an upheaval in the world, and it's all about Israel. The mighty angel comes down. He's clothed with a cloud. Behold, your King comes with the clouds, right? He will come with the clouds, chapter 1. The Bible says a rainbow was upon His head. We saw that in chapter 4 in the throne room of God, the rainbow all about the throne. We see His face was like the sun. We saw that in chapter 1. His face shone like the sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says He was transfigured before Him and He shone like the sun. The Bible says His feet were as pillars of fire. We saw that in chapter 1. And His high priestly garb, down at His feet, they were like burnished brass and they were like pillars of fire. The Bible says, and He had in His hand a little book open in chapter 5. The Bible says no one was found worthy to open the book, and Jesus was found. The one elder leaned over and said to John, don't weep, because he wept much. Nobody could open the book. And he says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. And the Bible says in verse 3, and he cried with a loud voice as a lion. Who is this angel? This is Jesus. Why is He called an angel? Because He's the angel of the Lord.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.